Thank you so much, and thank you for that very kind introduction. I think there's a lot for me to build on in the previous two brilliant presentations. So I'm going to focus in on a couple of things. So not just how you set UK ARPA up for success, but also what success might look like, and particularly what success might look like from the perspective of the business community. So firstly, I think one thing that's really important is that UK ARPA does have the potential to set the UK up to be a science superpower. We are at a really unique moment in UK history. We obviously have the COVID crisis and the COVID pandemic and the ensuing economic crisis that has unfortunately resulted from that. But we've also had Brexit. And for me, Brexit is making a choice about who we are as a nation. And we now need to demonstrate what we're going to do with that choice. And we need to demonstrate to the rest of the world what an independent UK can do and who an independent UK is. And one of the things that government has talked about really clearly is about making the UK a science superpower. And I was thinking a bit about what does that mean and what could that mean. And for me, you know, the role of a superpower suggests that the UK science is influential and it's impactful all around the world. And I think ARPA does have a potential to play a role there, especially if we focus in on using ARPA to solve specific social or economic challenges and ones that are challenges all around the world, such as things like health or net zero, where the UK has the potential to lead the way. But it's not just an opportunity to sort of set the tone in terms of who the UK is. It's also an opportunity to solve problems with our existing innovation ecosystem. And I was thinking about two in particular. So firstly, around leveraging business investment. The UK is brilliant at science innovation. We all know this, but for a long time, we haven't done enough of either of them. You know, I'm sure everyone listening to this call will know how stubbornly UK R&D has stayed at around 1.7% of GDP. And as Greg Clark mentioned in his intervention, we're in a landscape of increasing government spending on R&D, which is very exciting. But the only times countries have successfully raised the level of their own R&D, overall R&D, sorry, is where they've leveraged in business innovation as well. So I think we need to design ARPA in a way that can help achieve that goal. And I was struck by the comments from Greg Clark, actually, that they'd heard that the UK suffered from a lack of science pull. I don't think that the business community would always reflect on it that way. And actually, there are concerns that there's not enough sort of market pull rather than sort of science push. And we do need to make sure that we're creating the market in the UK for innovation. I'll say a little bit more on that later. And then the second thing I thought it would be useful for ARPA to look at is playing a role in levelling up. About half of R&D investment in the UK happens in London, the southeast, and the east of England. Although there's brilliant R&D all around the country, and we know R&D plays a really important role in driving growth. So potentially funding and establishing the new agency outside of London could serve as a catalyst for regional growth. And potentially establishing it around one of the sort of growing regional hubs for research would be a good way to look at doing this. Not only would that support levelling up, but it could also help unlock a wider pool of talent from around the UK. So those are some of the things I think we should, some of our ambitions that I think that we should have for ARPA. In terms of how you make that happen, there are three key things, and this does very much overlap with comments from Greg and from Ruth, but three key things that I think are really important here. The first is around a long-term funding model. The second, setting ARPA up to take risks. And then the final one, very much looking to that point about leveraging in investment, is designing ARPA with the business community in mind. So I'll say a little bit about each of those. So first, on the long-term funding model, industry is not looking for a flash in the pan. Feast and famine, chop and change is the opposite of good innovation policy. I say this a lot, but one of the strongest levers that government has at its disposal when it comes to spurring private sector innovation isn't the money, although the money does matter. It's the signals that government creates with where it chooses to invest and how long it chooses to invest for. And I think the US model of DARPA really exemplifies this. DARPA has existed for 60 years, and it receives over $3 billion per year in funding. Now, looking back to what that might mean for the UK, I know research that that David Willetts has done has suggested that funding would need to be about £200 million a year to have sort of similar impact at a UK level. So the initial £800 million proposed over 5 years for the government represents a pretty decent starting point towards that. Though I think following the spending review, there is some question about sort of how immediately all of this will be directed towards ARPA. Given this uncertainty, piloting a UK ARPA at a small scale could work before putting its funding on a sustained footing. But if we're going to do that, we shouldn't just pilot it and forget it. If the initial model doesn't work, let's iterate until we build something that does. This is how businesses scale. It's really tough for government to make something work like that. Government doesn't want to be seen to have sort of got things wrong in the first place. But, you know, if ARPA is our big innovative play, then we need to make sure that we're building something that can work really well. And I think, therefore, it does need a strong sponsor in government to make sure that happens. So the next thing was around setting ARPA up to take risks, but you can see it's very linked to the previous point. And the key benefit of the US ARPA model is its ability to encourage high risk research, which wouldn't happen if it was left to the market alone. And I think both the previous speakers talked to that point a bit as well. I think there are two aspects to why it's really good at this. So firstly is around independence, and the second is around the customer relationship. And on independence, we know, we've heard from other speakers, that the US agency operates outside of traditional oversight structures and departments. And this allows it to pursue high risk innovation that the market wouldn't, and potentially government funders wouldn't, because they're concerned about sort of value for money and return to taxpayers, which are obviously really important considerations. But in the UK, you know, it does look like ARPA will sit outside of UKRI, which may give it some of that independence. But I think one thing we do need to look to when we're doing that is sort of what's the brand for UK ARPA? How do we engage businesses in the science and innovation community with it? Because we do need to have a kind of coherent innovation support system. So I just think making sure that we're looking at independence and coherence together as much as we can. And then on the customer relationship, and for me, this is probably the one point I'd really want people to take home the most from all of this, because ultimately, when it comes to a company, the reason that they develop new products and services, the reason they invest in early stage research, is because they expect a market for it at some point. And actually, government can play a vital role here in creating new markets with its procurement approach. I've spoken to quite a lot of businesses who've talked to me about why they choose to invest in R&D in the UK, or potentially choose to invest in R&D outside of the UK. And where they do invest outside of the UK, it's often linked to bigger market opportunities elsewhere. So really important that the government is using its buying power as much as possible to support innovation. And the success of the ARPA program in the US is really down to that extended pipeline model, where the Department of Defense plays a vital role. I liked Ruth's characterization of kind of solving national security challenges through ARPA and using a sort of broad definition of that. And there's a few areas such as health or energy where I think key departments like the NHS could play a real role in acting as a lead customer there. And then my final point, I've just spotted I have two minutes to go. My final point is about designing ARPA with the business community in mind. While obviously government's going to create ARPA, industry expertise and funding will be an important factor in its long-term ability to bridge that gap between blue sky research and marketable products. So government and business need to work together closely to develop that new agency. And for me, there's a few key factors there. Firstly, a brilliant brand. The agency's brand is going to need to be bold if it's going to compete internationally and attract investment. To do this, government must be ambitious with its marketing of ARPA, identify a new name and a mission statement which inspires and encompasses its purpose and vision. And this will also help attract the brightest researchers from around the world. Second, it's practical, but get IP right. Intellectual property agreements can often be the blocker between really good collaborations on innovation. And the final one is design funding in a way that works for business. Ruth talked a bit about making sure that there's not match funding, but one of the other things we've also heard from businesses is the US ARPA model is really good because it has funding in 10-year increments with 3-year gates where they check in if the project is successfully delivering, but the assumption is the funding is there if the project is working. So I think there's quite a lot in that, but some really practical steps we can take to get ARPA right and get this right. And I do think it presents an opportunity to help the UK to be a science and innovation superpower post-Brexit.